Hello everybody, my name is Chef Louis, I'm from Capsicum. Today we're going to discuss a couple of different broths. So, there's a couple of options. You can play around with the recipes and basically use most ingredients that you would prefer. Ingredients that I would not recommend is anything starchy like potatoes. They will make your broth very cloudy, very thick. You can add them afterwards and serve it as a soup, but not during the cooking process as it will harm your soup. You want to make your broth very palatable or look very nice. You can add tomatoes, but again, you want to add that right at the end as the acidity will also damage the flavor or can impair the look of your broth. I'm going to go with very, very basic ingredients, and these ingredients we can use to make three different broths. We're going to start with a vegetable broth. Then I can use the exact same ingredients, turn that into a chicken broth, and still using the same ingredients, turn it into a beef broth. Okay, so we're going to use the same ingredients and we're going to generate three different broths. We're going to start with a vegetable broth, then we're going to turn the vegetable broth into a chicken broth, and then interchangeable, we're going to remove the chicken and we're going to add roasted beef, and we're going to turn that into a rich roasted beef broth. So using the same ingredients, only different meats at the end, we're going to change this into a very versatile recipe that you can use for many different dishes, when it suits you and for whatever reason you want. Alright, so to start with, my ingredients that I'm looking at, I'm always going to start my broth with a mirepoix, which is my leeks, my celery, and my carrots. I have chopped my carrots into brunoise. By doing that, I'm peeling the carrot, removing the top and the bottom, sort of 1 centimeter of the carrot, then cutting the carrot into sort of, so we say, finger length size, just so it's easy to manage. Cut off 2 millimeter slice, turn that so that the flat side, which I just cut, is level with my cutting board. That way the carrot won't be rolling around on my cutting board. And then continue slicing that into 2 millimeter slices. The thickness must be 2 millimeters. And I'm cutting those carrots lengthways. After cutting the carrots into lengthways slices, I will then turn those into matchsticks. Again, 2 millimeter thick matchsticks. So I've got something that's about 5 centimeters long by 2 millimeters thick. Then I'm going to cut each of those into a 2 millimeter cube, and that's going to give me my brunoise. I will also then cut my celery into the same size as well as my leek. Now for the leek, I need to keep the root base intact so that I can wash this leek properly without the entire thing falling apart. So I will cut the roots, the excess roots, off, leaving the base of plate in place. Just trim off any excess roots and then rinse this under cold water. So after rinsing, I can then slice my leeks again, sort of into 2 millimeter slices. And then I will place those aside with my carrot and my celery, which has been cut into the same size. I can mix this into one container as I'm going to add them all at once. Then in a small saucepan, the carrot is about a 25 centimeter long carrot, maybe a 3-4 centimeter diameter at the top of the base. And this will make a broth enough for 4 to 6 people as a starter, maybe for 2 people as a main. So onto my stove, I'm using an induction oven, and I want to start this off by a fairly low heat because I will be sweating my vegetables, and I will be starting by adding about a teaspoon of butter. I really don't want to add a lot of fat at this point because I'm working with a very liquid substance and I don't want all of that fat to go sit and float on the top of my soup, which will just sort of destroy the whole look of it and make it look a bit oily and greasy. So in a relative sort of small saucepan, I will add my butter and just bring that to a light sizzle. So I just need to make sure that the butter is completely melted. Once my butter is melted, I will then add my mirepoix, so the carrots, the leeks, and the celery, and I'll sweat those off gently for about 2 minutes. So my butter is completely melted. You can hear that there are no sizzling. I don't need any sizzling. I just need the butter to be completely melted. I don't want to work on a high heat.
I don't intend on changing the color, so I don't want to brown my vegetables. I want them to remain completely natural color. So the green of the celery, the white of the leeks, and the orange of the carrots. So I will add these all at once, all of my vegetables at once. Now you can hear a slight simmer. They're starting to saute just a little bit. Now with the celery, I've left the leaves on. I can use the leaves, they're completely edible, but I do need to make sure that it's only the young leaves and that they're completely fresh. I don't want any old leathery leaves that are going to make my dish, like, I don't know, chewy and a little bit less palatable. So I've got all my veggies in. I'm going to stir that around just to make sure that all my vegetables are completely combined. And then I will add a cartouche. Now, a cartouche is a piece of parchment paper, and the side that will be in contact with my vegetables has been lightly buttered. Very lightly buttered. As I said, we don't want the butter floating on top. And I will cover my vegetables with the cartouche. Now, I will press the cartouche into the pot until the paper is directly in contact with the vegetables, touching, sitting on top of my vegetables, and continuing at my low heat. I will sweat my vegetables for about 2 minutes. Press the cartouche in all the way down, make sure it's sitting directly on top of your vegetables, and then just let that sit for about 2 minutes. You do want to stir it from time to time, so don't forget about it for this 2 minutes. It might burn, which is exactly what we're trying to avoid. In the meantime, while that's happening, I have got 1 clove of garlic, a 1 centimeter slice of red chili. This is a bird's eye chili. I also have a half an onion and 1 turnip. These are my vegetables that I've chosen for the fragrances and for the flavors. So my garlic I'm just going to finely chop, but not too fine. You just want to sort of mince it just so that you've got a bigger, a greater surface area. And the same for the chili. I'm just going to cut it, my 1 centimeter slice. I'm just going to cut it in half and then just sort of slice it. No need to remove the seeds unless you want something that's much milder. The seeds will incorporate a heat, but this is a very small amount of chili, so you won't get too much of a bite from the chili. Now, bear in mind, you can add any kind of vegetables. You can really play around with flavors that you would like. But as I said, stay away from starchy vegetables as they will turn the broth cloudy. So, and of course, any fresh herbs will do wonders. So rosemary would work wonderfully. Oregano, thyme. These are herbs that need and like to be cooked for a long period of time. They release more oils, so they become more fragrant, more flavorful the longer you cook them. And with the broth, we want to cook this for at least an hour. A vegetable broth, we're going to cook for about half an hour to an hour. But for the chicken broth that we're going to be making shortly and the beef broth, we can really take those up to 2 to 3 hours. They're quite similar to a stock, but however, traditionally, a broth is meant to be a liquid in which you've cooked meat. So being that we're going to cook our meat in it, that will be our rich and delicious broth. And we can cook those for anywhere from 2 hours up to 8 hours. Don't overcook it. Don't go beyond 8 hours because then you're really just damaging and destroying everything that you've put in. And you do want to look at the fresh ingredients. You want to see the beautiful orange of the carrots and you want to have that fresh mouth feel. So it's very, very important that when you're serving this dish to guests that it looks as good as possible but also tastes fantastic. Alright, so about 2 minutes, we're going to lift off the cartouche from our vegetables. Just give them a stir and have a look at them. They've really started to soften up nicely. And the way we can tell is to put your wooden spoon in, lift up some of your ingredients, and just press with your fingers very lightly. Be careful not to burn, it is hot. The carrots will still be quite crunchy because they haven't cooked all that much, which is fine, that's what we're looking for. The leek would have gone nice and soft, and so also the celery. So we're looking for those very soft textures, particularly in the leek and the celery. So I'm giving that a good stir again. To this, I will add my finely chopped garlic and my finely chopped chili. And just kind of stir those in just so that they start combining with the other ingredients. Then leaving the cartouche off now, I no longer need it, so that can go to the bin. I'm going to let that sit on the heat, but remember I'm still on a very, very low heat. While those are sort of sauteing away, I'm going to prepare the onion. Now I have a half an onion. The reason for this is that I already have a whole leek in my broth. So it is a very oniony flavor, so to avoid over-onioning it, that's even the word, we're just going to add a half an onion to this. So the onion I am now just going to slice in about a 1 centimeter slice lengthways, starting from one side and work my way to the other side. And this is because I'm going to cut this again into 1 centimeter cubes. This is not quite a brunoise. I'm now working from the opposite direction and cutting this into 1 centimeter slices. Again, this will give me my 1 centimeter cubes. Once my onion is completely sliced, I'm going to add this to my mirepoix and then just stir this in carefully. You do need to keep an eye on the mirepoix because it could easily burn, as you do have very little fat in this mixture, so it can catch to the bottom of your pot very easily. So you do want to keep stirring this on a regular basis, but not constantly. My last ingredients for the vegetable broth is the turnip, and the same as the onion, I'm going to cut the turnip in half, then I'm cutting the turnip lengthways into 1 centimeter cubes, or slices at the moment, and then I will turn each slice and cut it into yet another 1 centimeter slice, so that I can have 1 centimeter cubes. Just make sure that you have all of the slices or all of the cubes the same size or relatively the same size so that they evenly cook. So that is the turnip cut into 1 centimeter cubes. I will add those to the onions and to the mirepoix. Now I don't need to saute this any longer. As I said, I don't want to change the color of this. And a big part of my broth is the freshness of the vegetables. This is a vegetable broth, so I do need to focus on the vegetables. I only use a half of the turnip, and it's a sort of, shall we say, a tennis ball size turnip. And I only need a half of that or one small turnip. Stir that in, make sure it's properly combined. And then I'm going to top that up again with cold water. Or if you really want to, you can use a vegetable stock, but again, make sure that it's cold, and top it up. And again, a way that you can see or feel that this is completely covered is by just dabbing the vegetables, and if they bob down to the bottom, then it means that there's enough liquid in your broth. Now this needs to boil for about a half an hour minimum, and then we're going to take it up to a 1 hour. So anywhere between a half an hour to 1 hour, and then after that initial boiling, we will then season it, and then we can either strain it, or if your vegetables are still not overcooked and palatable, then you can serve it as a broth with your vegetables in the broth. You don't have to clarify or clear it. You can make this a nice chunky broth. Alright, now using our knowledge that we've learned from making a vegetable broth, we can turn our vegetable broth into a chicken broth. What I have is the exact same ingredients. We've already put it all together, making that vegetable broth. And I'm just simply taking that same vegetable broth and I'm going to turn that into a chicken broth. My broth is not on a boil yet, which means this is the perfect time to add my chicken. And what I have is a chicken breast quarter. So this is the front quarter of the chicken. It's the breast part with the wing. And the reason I'm using this is because it contains less fat than the back quarter, so the leg quarter. I don't, like I said earlier, I don't want a huge amount of fat in the chicken or in the broth. So I will then just strip away any excess fat from the chicken breast and remove the wing lip. The tip of the wing has got a lot of fat. There's really no meat on that, so cut that off. You don't need that. And then to my cold liquid and my cold vegetables, I will just add my bits of chicken. This is about a 230 gram piece of chicken, and that's with the bone. The bone is what's going to add quite a lot of flavor to this dish. So adding my chicken, skin off, all excess fat, all fat is removed, I've literally only used the meat and the bones. The wing tip has been removed so that there's no additional fat. And then in cold water, and I'll just slowly bring that up to a boil. Now the exact same process to do a beef broth, but slightly different in the sense that I'm going to use my beef and I want something with bones in it. So oxtail could work well, but a little pricey maybe, but delicious flavor. You can even use the lamb or mutton for this. But as long as there's a lot of beef, bones, as long as there's a lot of bones in the meat, it's the bones that is going to give us the flavor, but we do want the meat because we're going to serve the meat as part of the dish. So the reason why we need to make sure that the meat that we're going to use contains bones is because most of our flavor is in the bone. This comes in the form of the gelatin that's in the bone, the marrow that's in the bone, and also the connective tissue within the bone itself. As the bones boil, all of these proteins are released into the liquid, and that's what gives us the flavor that we're looking for. Another very important part is that we brown our meat very, very well before adding it to our broth liquid. The browning process caramelizes the natural sugars within the meat, and also gives a very good brown, rich color as opposed to something gray, as you can imagine what beef would look like if you just boiled it. Really pale, no color at all. So we want to avoid that, but also to intensify the flavor of the beef, we roast it at a very high temperature, around 200 to 230 degrees. We just use the bones, sort of even size. You don't want very big chunky pieces, and you don't want small pieces all mixed together. So it's either very chunky or it's all small pieces, but fairly uniform in size. Drizzle a little bit of olive oil over the bones. Sprinkle salt, not a lot of salt, you just want to lightly season your meat. Then rub it in with your hands, put it under in the hot oven, so preheated oven. And then you're going to leave it there for anywhere between a half an hour to about 45 minutes. You really need to smell the beef, so you'll get a very, very strong smell of it. Also, you will be able to smell the caramelization of the meat. And that is what we're looking for. That means that the meat has been sufficiently browned, and it's going to impart a good color, but also, more importantly, a very good flavor into our broth. So after you've roasted the beef to this very brown point where you can really smell it, it might smell a bit burny at first if you're not accustomed to the smell. And that's just the fat that's spattering around in the oven and getting stuck on the grill and so on. So that might smell a little bit burny, but that's what you're looking for. You want that smell, you want that flavor. That's what it's all about. Then in the exact same way, you will do your vegetable broth, like we just explained, and instead of the chicken, you will then add those richly browned beef cubes. And then just bring that to a boil, very slowly, very gently. The beef bones, you're not looking for bones with a lot of meat on them, but you do want a little bit of meat on them. I would say about 80% bone, 20% meat. And then the size, it depends on your personal taste or what you intend on doing with it, but like I said, either very chunky or fairly small pieces, but all the pieces in the same pan, uniform size. So after you've really browned that meat and you can really smell it, then you will remove it from the pan. What you don't want, there will be a lot of drippings. This is the fat and some liquids that is expelled from the meat and the bones that will end up in the bottom of the pan. You don't want to use that because it's primarily fat. And we don't want the fat dribbling or floating on top of the liquid. You will then take those bones, and just like we just made the vegetable broth, you do the same process, but instead of the chicken, you will add the bones to the broth. I just said vegetable broth, but instead of chicken, you'll add the vegetable broth, the beef broth. But being beef, we do need to cook this for a fair amount of time to extract as much of the flavors as possible. Remember, we're looking for that gelatin that's within the bones. That's going to add nice thickness to our broth and also good flavor. So we're going to cook this for at least 2 hours to 8 hours. We don't really want to go past 8 hours because we're just going to destroy whatever flavor is there because everything will be evaporated. So we're not going to go more than 8 hours. I would say a good amount of time would be, let's say about 6 hours would be a safe time. Also, it depends on what amount of time you have to make this. Definitely a dish you want to do a day in advance. The longer it stands, the better the flavor. And also, with the beef and the chicken, once you finish cooking the beef and the chicken broth, The fat that still remains in the broth will rise to the surface and float on the surface, and the benefit of making this one day in advance will be that once you chill the broth, the fat will solidify, and that's then very easy to skim off. So that is your vegetable, chicken and beef broth, using the exact same recipe, the exact same ingredients. So you can really experiment, you can really play with this broth. Make it your own. Make it something that you would be interested in making and serving to people. And when you do serve this, serve it straight up. Don't try and overcomplicate it. Don't try and make it all fancy. Season it well, salt and pepper. There's no need for sugar, although if you do want to add the touch of sugar, it can't do any harm. Or any sweetener, it will just enhance the flavors. And then if you want to serve this, like I said, keep it straight, keep it easy. Maybe just look at some really, really good sourdough bread, like an Italian focaccia would work well. Just with onion and garlic and a bit of rosemary on top, pop it in the oven, nice roasted. Even the ciabatta would work very well. You want a good, hearty loaf of bread that can really soak up the sauce in the bottom of the bowl that you can't get out with a spoon. Because I promise you, this is going to be so good, you won't be able to leave a drop.